Hi, this is James Altucher. Thank you for listening to Eric Cabral's Entrepreneur Circle on this episode.
Yeah, one of the things I do as a leader and one of the things I do as a coach, right? It's all about accountability. You got to do the work. And I think why so many people are not successful is because they're not accountable, or they try to hold themselves accountable. And, you know, as people, we are human. And so it's very hard to hold yourself accountable sometimes. And so, I would say the number one thing is, find an accountability partner. Lay out your goals, put them out there. Like, put out the big audacious goals. Like, I have always put out massive goals. And not only do I put them out, I'm very public about them.
You have now entered the Entrepreneur Circle.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the Entrepreneur Circle, where we've built a community that shares lessons learned throughout our journeys, celebrate wins, our eureka moments, and embrace the F word, meaning failure, which I've come to realize that failure is success in progress. I'm Eric Cabral, your host, a husband, a father of two brilliant girls, and I've been called a heart-centered entrepreneur by my peers and mentors. My mission in life is to make the world a better place, one mic at a time. So I'm happy and humble to have you join in on that mission. And I hope that by the end of the show, we would have added value in your life. So if you're ready to jump into the circle, let's get to it. Hey, I'm so glad you're here because I don't often get the opportunity to share with you exactly what I do and what we do here at On Air Brands. So we help the folks in our community and our clients to launch a podcast and then produce them on a weekly basis. We also help to promote each episode with close to a dozen social media posts that consist of quote cards, sound bites, and video clips. And then we post them for you on your socials automagically. So if you're a business owner with a ton on your plate, and a podcast just seems super overwhelming, I get it. We don't need one more thing to worry about. So let me and my team at On Air Brands do the heavy lifting each week so that you can focus on what you do best, which is to build your business, have more time to pour into your family and your community, or just plain chill and recharge. So feel free to email me at eric@onairbrands.com so that we can book time together to chat about how we can align with your mission and how you can align with ours, which is to make the world better. One mic at a time. Now back to the show. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of The Entrepreneur Circle. I'm your most happy and humbled host, as usual, Eric Cabral. I am with, and typically I'm always with, someone that's amazing. But today, an amazing individual. I'm being super inspired by our conversations earlier. So I just wanted to welcome to the show Lisa Copeland. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing great. How are you, Eric?
Fantastic. For those of you who don't know who Lisa is, she's an international keynote speaker. She's a sales strategist. She understands what customers want and how to motivate them to buy. And to that, those are her techniques, her very specific techniques across a lot of industries, which we'll get into today. She is also one of the top 100 most influential women. She's such a powerhouse and lives by her values, and her success shows that. And she's also a national media contributor in very familiar medias that you would know, such as Bloomberg, Marie Claire, the New York Times. I know you also write for Forbes. But then again, let's welcome Lisa Copeland to the show.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to get into it and get your story and all the wonderful things that have happened that we could potentially learn from, Lisa. But let's start off with our very first question, which is your eureka moment in life.
Oh, I love the eureka one. That's so good. I would say my eureka was in, March of 2020. I was on a stage in Chicago and I was keynoting for a large sales organization, Atlas Moving Lines. And it was their international conference. And I was the closing keynote speaker. I was going to spend the night. This was probably about, I want to say March 20th, 17th through 20th, somewhere in there. I was going to spend the night and I was going to meet the next morning with their leadership team. Because prior to March of 2020, I was a keynote speaker. And typically I was hired by the Fortune 1, Fortune 5, by their VPs of sales to help their sales teams get unstuck. And so I thought I had just crushed it. The audience was going crazy. Like, it was so good. And I walk off the stage and I get met by the meeting planner. And she said, we need to put you in a car and get you to the airport. And I said, did I do something wrong? I thought the audience liked me. Like, at this point, Eric, I am clueless. And she said, no, Chicago's going to be shut down tomorrow morning due to the pandemic, or the, what do we call it back then? The coronavirus or whatever. Yeah. And I said, what? Like, literally, I was like, what are we talking about? What do we call it back then? The coronavirus?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there was something else for it. But anyways, and I said, you're joking me, right? And she said, no, like, I'm serious. Like, you have got to catch an airplane out tonight or you will not get home. Oh, so they had a car waiting for me. They scooped me out to Chicago O'Hare. I'm still kind of just reeling from what had just happened. I get to Chicago O'Hare, and I'll tell you, the only time that I was really scared during this pandemic ever was when I got to Chicago O'Hare that night. Everybody was gloved. They were masked. They're almost in hazmat suits. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm from Texas. What is happening here on planet Earth? Like, that everybody is masked and hazmated up. Mm-hmm. And I get on the plane and I swear to y'all, I am the only one that's not in gloves and a mask. And so literally over the next probably 5 to 7 days, my agent kept calling me, we're canceled. Every speaking gig, every conference, everything, like, right, the whole world goes into panic. Everything gets shut down. So my eureka moment was like, okay, I had 7 figures shut down in speaking and consulting gigs. And so I said, what am I going to do? And, as the universe would have it, a very dear friend of mine reached out to me and he said, hey, you know, do you have a real estate license? And I did not. I've got a background in the mortgage business. I own a mortgage company still to this day. And I said, I don't. And so anyways, I got my real estate license and I joined HGTV star Tariq El Moussa and a guy by the name of Haas Pratt. And I joined them because they said that they had a goal to build the largest real estate team in the world. And they wanted me to join them. So that was my eureka. That was my pivot, because literally everything I knew had been canceled. And for me, it wasn't even as much the money as that I didn't want to be locked in a house. And so I loved real estate, Eric, in Texas, because it was considered essential. And so essential meant I got to leave the house. I still got to work. And so we did it. And kind of the rest is history. You know, I made a very fast pivot. I made a very fast decision. I wanted to work with like-minded people. And they saw the pandemic as an opportunity, not as a curse. And I was immediately drawn to that. I was like, okay, I agree with you guys. Like, we're going to make chicken salad out of chicken. You know what?
I love it. You can swear on the show.
It's version, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good. No, it is a family show, but I allow for a few curse words here and there. I love that part of your story where you saw it as an opportunity.
I did.
You know, making chicken salad. That's great. And most people were hiding in their homes versus getting out in more homes, as you guys were.
Hiding, masked up, scared, you know, I mean, yeah, all of it.
Yeah. Yep. It's great. And what I love about that is, you know, you acted very quickly and you made a decision very quickly. And it worked in your favor. If you don't mind sharing, because I've heard you share this on another show, that how much money did you make doing this specific thing in your first year to 2 years?
Well, year one was not remarkable. Average, probably. Year two. So year 2022, right at $1 million.
Yeah. That's mm-hmm. amazing. I just mm-hmm. wanted to get that message out there because I know we have a lot of investors, a lot of agents that are listening to this show. And in your first 2 years.
It's all verified and testified and all of that, because EXP is so happy with that number, obviously.
Yeah. Could you share, you know, what do you think? And I know you're an amazing sales person and you have a lot of experience. Aside from sales, or specifically sales, we can go into the specifics about sales. What were some of the major things that you think were a reason for that success in the first couple of years?
I worked. I worked and I networked, right? So, you know, if there's anything I can tell an entrepreneur, is that your network is your net worth. And it's absolutely your net worth. And What I didn't get into and don't even need to go into in this podcast is that I used to be a car dealer and I owned the number one Fiat Alfa Romeo store in the world. My team broke the world sales record in 2012 and we never stopped. I sold it in March of 16. But I built an incredible Rolodex at that time, including people like Glenn Lundy, Grant Cardone, and many others that your audience would probably be very familiar with. And I always kept up with them, right? Like when you meet good people, this is like a business tip. This is a hack for anybody out there watching this. When you meet good people, keep up with them. You know, don't just like make it one and done. You know, Glenn Lundy's like a brother to me. Grant Cardone's a very dear, dear friend of mine because, you know, they were always people that I admired, that, that I saw as winning. And so, you know, I really try to keep my network of people that are winning at a high level. They don't have to be winning in my industry, but they have to be winning as humans. They've got to be winning in their families. They've got to be winning with their finances. They've got to be winning with their business. They've got to be winning with their health. And if all of that, if all of us, we all have those core values. And if somebody's got that, those four core values, which are super rare, then I feel like I did not meet them by accident. I feel like I met them because I was supposed to know them and continue to do life with them.
I love that. I love that you mentioned your core values. Are those your core values, would you say?
Yes, you know, absolutely.
Finance, wealth, health, just being a good person.
Yeah, mindset.
Mindset.
But just, you know, who you are. Like, you know, who do you show up as every single day?
Yeah.
And are you the same person that everybody knows? Like, do you live your life at the same level that you're out there telling everybody you live your life at? Mm-hmm. And Grant and Glenn, which are the two of the guests that I know that you and I know together, they both are, because I know them personally, and I'm involved in their lives, and I've been to their homes, and they are who they portray themselves to be.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It's interesting because. A lot of people, especially people like Grant, who have a voice, who have a personality, you know, AKA a personal brand and reputation out there. Mm-hmm. You know, we work with Gary Vaynerchuk, and people would often ask me, how is he behind the scenes? I'm like, he's exactly who he is that you see on the camera. Same thing with Grant.
Yes.
You know, it's not a different person. You see the tears and you see the shouts. Like they will do both on camera and off camera.
But that's the reason you're so successful, because people can sniff a fake out. And I have a great analogy for that, Eric. You know, I told my sales team years ago at the car dealership, I said, look, your most successful self will be your most authentic self. And I said, just like I can sniff out a fake purse, you know, someone who's authentic, I can tell a fake Chanel and a fake Louis and a fake Gucci a mile off. Okay. And it's the same thing with if you're in sales or you're in business. And the reason Gary and Grant and some of these guys who have big personalities and big opinions, people like them because you may not always agree with them. Although I typically agree with Grant. He and I are pretty much on the same side, but it's their authenticity. You know, they've got the courage to go out there and to take a stand. And if you're going to be successful in life, you've got to have courage to go out and take a stand. Because if you don't, you'll fall for anything, right? You don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So authenticity, big deal.
I love that. I love that. Can you share with, just since you mentioned that, you know, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think you and I are probably of the same generation. I'm a Gen Xer. And not Gen X, yes, Gen X, the MTV generation. And I remember coming up, I left corporate America around 2017, and what was big in sales was run to the back of the room. We got a $25,000, we got a $50,000 offer.
I know
that the whole market has shifted and gone away, and then everybody realized, oh, and this was sort of how my company started coming up, subscription models. Oh, now, well, it's $500 a month, it's $1,000 a month, it's $2,000 a month. Right. How can you share with the audience ways that, like you said, sniff out the good deals, the bad deals, the real people, people who aren't going to take advantage. Like, what are some of the things, one of the red flags for you that you could share?
The biggest red flag for me is that I'm not going to be coached by somebody that has not done more than I've done. And I've got a pretty big resume, right? And so, you know, like, for example, I'm in Grant's real estate coaching program. It's $25,000, right, for a year. I paid it, even though his wife's one of my best friends. I wrote the man a check, right? Because we're all about equal exchange. And like, I'm not going to take real estate advice from anybody who hasn't done what I've done, number one. So I want to take real estate advice, right? From investing when it comes, you know, from a billionaire who has 12,000 doors, you know? And so when you're out looking for a coach, you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for somebody to follow. If somebody has not done more than you've done personally, you know, you can be their friend, but they cannot be your mentor. They cannot. Otherwise, you're going to go backwards. You're going to play small, you know? And one night I was over at Grant and Elena's and I was sitting on the back porch and I mentioned that I met Grant in the automotive industry. And there was a point in time where I think I was a bigger deal than he was in the auto industry. And I said that to him. And I said, gee, when did you get ahead of me? And he looked at me, and it was just he and I on the back porch and Elena was in the house and he looked at me and he said, when I got into real estate. And he goes, and you're behind.
Wow.
And I'm like, touche. Okay. And it isn't that I'm going to question that. It isn't that I'm going to argue with him, right? Like when somebody that I admire and somebody who's done more than I've done, I don't question it because you never know, like that's the lens that they see you in. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so many people nowadays, they get offended and they get the this and the that and the canceled and the da, 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 da. If the truth is spoken to them, right? And so when you find somebody out there that will allow you into their inner circle, that has been more successful than you, that has blazed the trails that you want to blaze, you know, you want to accept what they have to say. And I'll tell you, and I looked at Grant and I said, I got it. And I said, that's okay. That's all I needed to hear. And yeah. Man, like from that day on, boom, I just went at it full force. And in my head, I always think to myself that Grant said, you know, because I got in real estate before you did. I'm like, okay, bro, game on.
Yeah.
Better late than never. 12,000 doors.
Yeah. Yeah. Or join part, yeah, some of his deals. But yeah. And it's times like those. And a lot of people who are listening here may or may not be into coaching, have a coach or mentor. Right. But that was a mindset shift for me leaving corporate America to understand like coaching does not mean that you have weaknesses. It means that you're actually leveraging someone else's time to kind of fast forward what you wanted to do. Because I was in my 40s, right? So, yeah, it's like, but that 25K that you invested, that one little nugget was probably worth it all. It's like, that's all I need to know. Bye.
Yeah, you know, and that was a friend conversation, right? That isn't even the massive value that I get every week being in the group. But also, you think about the greatest athletes in the world. They've all got coaches. Like, you know, how in the world, I mean, college isn't going to teach you anything. I don't care how many alphabet letters you've got behind your name. That means zero to me. I look at your financial sheet. I look at what you've done. I look at the companies you've built. I look at the empires you've built. I look at your success as a human. I don't care anything about where you went to college and, you know, 49 letters after your name. That to me, it's almost a cop out. You know, it's almost a cop out. And so, you know, it's all about, you know, everybody should have a coach. I have multiple coaches in multiple different arenas of things that I do, but I'll tell you what, they're all more successful than I am. I will never be coached to or listen to the opinion of somebody who has done less than I have done. And so anyways, that's super important.
Yeah, I love this. So let's go down this path here, Lisa, for a minute. Coaching, consulting, yeah. Your agency, your team. Mm-hmm. Let's use me as an avatar because okay. I am the audience as well.
Sure.
EXP, your team. Mm-hmm. I've seen your successes, clearly more success in real estate, you know, in terms of buying, selling, and being a brand within that community than I. So how do you help and what are some of the things that you could share with the audience to sort of get them over the line?
How do we help? Do you mean if somebody joins my team?
Yeah, I mean, just either your team or inspire them to do more, be more, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of agents out there that are just, you know, oh, I'm not getting the success. You know, like, how do you motivate them? How do you motivate your own team? Do you kick those out, those apples?
One of the things I do as a leader and one of the things I do as a coach, right? It's all about accountability, you know? You got to do the work. And I think why so many people are not successful is because they're not accountable or they try to hold themselves accountable. And, you know, as people, we are human And so it's very hard to hold yourself accountable sometimes. And so, I would say the number one thing is, find an accountability partner, lay out your goals, put them out there, like put out the big audacious goals. Like I have always put out massive goals, and not only do I put them out, I make them, I'm very public about them. Like in 2012, I had made a bet with the president, I guess he was the president of Fiat. Yeah. His name was Tim Kaniskis. And it was that my team, my dealership would break the world sales record for sales in Fiat. And he was like, oh, you're crazy. You're in Austin, Texas. It won't happen. We got bigger markets. We got LA. We got Florida. We got New York. They, you're home. You're the land of the trucks and SUVs. It won't happen. I'm like, don't tell me what I can't do. Just tell me, are you willing to take the bet? Number one. And number two, here's what I want. I want to meet the chairman of the board of Ferrari, Maserati, Alfa, Fiat, Chrysler. And his name was Sergio Marchionne. And he was the chairman of the board. And I'd heard Marchionne speak in 2011, and I learned so much from him. I mean, so much from him. And so I put out the bet, and then I thought, and everyone thought I was crazy. I didn't even have enough inventory to break the record. Anyways, not to digress into that. Like where there's a will, there's a way. I wanted to meet Marchionne. And so Tim said, okay, fine, but it's not going to, he's in Italy, blah, 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 but okay, fine. They said, if you guys break the world sales record, you'll meet Marchionne. I'm like, okay, cool. So then Automotive News is kind of like the Wall Street Journal of the automotive industry. It goes out to every dealer every week, every OEM, every manufacturer, everything. So I was kind of a, I did a lot of, they would always call me for industry news and things like that. So I was pretty in with Automotive News. And so I called Automotive News and I said, hey, I made a major bet. I'm going to meet Marchionne and I want you to write a story about it. And Chrysler just had a heart attack. They were like, oh my God, we haven't even told Marchionne yet. We agreed to this bet. Now you've put it in the press. He's going to read about it. I'm like, I don't care. But I did it because I wanted to hold myself and my team accountable. Like there was no way not to do it because it's an automotive news. Now that's very, very, what am I trying to say? I don't recommend that to anybody. It was the toughest 60 days of my life. I don't think I slept or ate for 60 days, buying inventory, trying to make it happen, motivating my sales team, all of that, right? That was a tough way to break the world sales record. But you don't have to go to that level of accountability. But number one, you have to know where you're going, right? So you've got to set your goals. You've got to set your targets. Once you've set your target, then you have to tell it to somebody, right? You have to tell somebody, hey, I'm gonna make $1 million this year. I'm gonna sell 5 houses this month. I'm gonna build my team up. I'm gonna make a whatever, right? And then you've got to have that person. You got to have that person to report back to. Like, well, did you do it? Why didn't you do it? Are you just talking to hear yourself talk? And so, so anytime I've ever set a big audacious goal, I always tell somebody about it, and somebody that matters, like somebody who would be like, you're kidding. You didn't hit that. So I think it's my best advice is set your targets and then tell somebody that matters, whether it's Automotive News, the New York Times, or, your sales manager, or your business partner, your spouse, whatever that is, but make sure who you tell is going to hold you accountable. I knew back in 12 that if we did not break the record, there would be a second story written in Automotive News, like headlined, they failed. And there was no way I was going to create that headline.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah. That's a powerful motivator, right? Having an accountability partner.
It's everything.
And what are some of the things that if they don't succeed, someone specific on your team, are there repercussions? Yeah. Are there points? There's any, it's just shame or it's just guilt.
It isn't shame. I mean, not everybody is wired like I am. I do have some absolute natural born killers on my team, and that's why they came with me. And I'm tougher on them than I probably am on anybody, but they want that, trust me. But no, I mean, not everybody runs at the same pace, and that's okay too. What I do expect people who work with me is to set targets. And even if your target is one house a month, I expect you to hit it. I expect you to do everything you can to get there. So my target can't be somebody else's target, but I do expect people to set targets. How do you ever achieve any level of success if you don't know what you're aiming for? So
I love that. Having clarity, knowing what the goal is. Yeah. The target is key. From what I'm gathering. Yeah. I love it. So I know we're time's flying by, Lisa, and I wanted to get into one of my favorite segments of, which is embrace the F word, meaning failure. So any stories you could share, vulnerability.
We've all failed, right? I'm somebody who I throw out a lot of stuff, right? Like when I sold the dealership, I was like, I'm going to have a show on iHeartRadio, which I did, for women buying cars. Like this is probably my favorite fail story. So when I was a car dealer, women from all over the country, because I was on Fox, like I was on everything because we had broken a world sales record. I was a female car dealer in a male dominated industry. So I was big news, big story for several years. And so I had a big microphone. And so that being said, women from all over the country would call me and they'd be like, I want to buy a car from you. I'm in New York, but I want a car from you. I want to support you. I think you're amazing. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, great. So when I sell the dealership in 2016, I think every woman in America loves me. They must absolutely think I'm the greatest thing in the world. So I'm going to start, when it comes to cars, let me back that up. So I'm going to start a radio show on iHeart called Cars Her Way. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to start a radio show. I'm going to have dealers that are Cars Her Way certified. Like I am just going to be like the Angie's List of cars. Mm-hmm. And I thought, God, I mean, I got this deal for sure. I mean, all women love me when it comes to cars. They all trust me, this, that, and the other. Well, boy, oh boy. What I did find out on the flip side, when I was no longer a car dealer, you write a book and women go after you saying, do you think I'm stupid? You have a radio show about helping women consumers buy cars. And they're like, well, I'm not any, anyways, it was ended up really being an epic failure. I mean, I followed Rush Limbaugh, like it was Rush and then me on Sundays. Like, so I had a really good spot, like radio spot. I guess Rush was still alive then. So that's how long ago it was, 2016, 2017. And I just really thought, like, this is it. I will be the Susie Orman of automotive for women consumers. Well, the women consumers just didn't bite. And I was so shocked. They bought when I was a car dealer because I was on the other side of the fence, but they didn't really appreciate the advice. So I would say that was one of my big plans that just never got off the ground. It got off the ground a little bit. It wasn't like an epic failure, but it never did what I thought it would do. And I was really disappointed. I was really deflated after that happened. I worked on it for about 2 years. But I'll tell you what else I'm really good at is that I'm really good at just going when something's not working, right? Like I wasn't going to drag this thing on any longer than I needed to. You know, probably a year and a half run. I made a little bit of money. Like I didn't lose the house or anything crazy like that, but I did lose a lot of my, I don't know. I was just really disappointed. Like, it really made me recast who I was and what I thought. So I kind of went back to at that point, corporate speaking, because of my success in sales, there aren't that many women sales gurus, a lot of motivational speakers, but not a lot of sales speakers who have my background and have had my success. And so I went back to corporate speaking and, I probably would still be corporate speaking today because I was in pretty high demand, if it wasn't for the pandemic. So yeah, I had an F word, a failure, and it broke my heart kind of, right? Cause I put so much into it and it just never got off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that. I've experienced similar things, letting, you know, things go, building something for years and then,
sometimes, Eric, you have to let them go.
Yeah. How do you get past really quick, sort of the emotional aspect, right? Because it's your baby, right? You birthed this thing, you created it. What are some of the ways that you address that part of it, the emotional aspect?
Well, and I'll tell you, it was hard for me too, because I had a lot of male car dealers going against me, right? They're like, who does she think she is? And so there were a lot of people that were glad I failed. Trust me. And failed is probably a tough word. But it's, that it didn't take off to the level I thought it would take off to. So I had not only that I was disappointed in myself, but I knew other people were watching. And so I had to kind of deal with that. So I did in typical Lisa fashion, I didn't address it. I just went on to the next thing. I just kind of quit talking about it. And so it just kind of went away. Now I knew people were talking behind the scenes, but I can't let that bog me down. And I'll tell anybody out there, you know, do not let your haters or the people that don't root for you bog you down, because at the end of the day, they didn't have the guts to do what you did. And I'm a serial entrepreneur, And I've started a lot of amazing companies that have done very, very well. And that was the only one I've started that didn't do well. Okay, check. Stick it in that one. But all my other ones have done very, very well. So, you know, don't let other people's, don't stand in other people's opinions.
Yeah.
Just go out there and say, you know what? I have courage and you don't.
100%. Yeah. Well, yep. That's a big step, especially in the entrepreneur game, is not caring what other people think. You know,
it's hard.
It is hard.
Like fundamentally, like I want people to like me. I'm in sales. Of course I want people to like me. And those of us that are in sales and those of us that are type A personalities and we're very big personalities, like we don't like haters. We don't want enemies. And I probably learned a lot of that from my friend Grant, teaching me that like over the years, like you can't like, you know, understand that the haters are watching too. And they want you to fall. And he's like, but if those people have nothing better to do, they're going to always be losers in life because all they're doing is following around successful people wishing that they would fail.
Yeah. Yeah. I forget the saying. I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's the people that mind don't matter and the people that matter don't mind.
Oh, nice. Always, I like that. I'm going to use that.
But I know Grant always says, if you have haters, and I'm not going to do his accent, which I typically would, but it's like, if you have haters, you're doing the right thing, right?
Amen.
You're obviously...
They're watching, right?
Yeah, because once you have haters, I think it's 1% of your followers. So if you have one hater, that means there's 100 people that love you or 99 people that love you.
But you know what? Even if there isn't, and especially in the world that we live in today, that's very polarized, right? You're either right or you're left. You're red or you're blue. Okay. So at the end of the day, no matter, you know, and if you're somebody who's got a strong opinion, and I have a very strong opinion, but I try to temper it quite a bit. But you know, half of the people are going to think you're the greatest thing on planet Earth, and the other half of the people are going to not like you. But what I find interesting, and when you get all the trolls and you're out there or you get the negative opinions, I'm like, oh, but they're listening. They're listening. Mm-hmm. Which is why I do believe you have got to stand for something or fall for anything, because the haters and the naysayers are listening, and there might be something that you say that can turn them. Or make them understand that their viewpoints are wrong.
Yeah. I love it. You standing your ground, and it goes back to your core values. Just being very clear, very clear on what you're about, and standing within those pillars. Just before we move on from embracing the F word, the lesson that I extracted, and maybe there's others, but one of them is cutting the cord basically before it's too
quickly.
Late. Like yeah,
quickly, y'all. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I've seen so many people go down with the ship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'll just be transparent. When I cut the cord on Cars Her Way, it was when I looked at our bank account, because I was making a lot of money for endorsements. And I looked at our bank account and we were down to our last $10,000. And I said, okay, I either have to infuse cash into this deal or I got to cut it. And I'm like, I'm not putting good money in after bad. Obviously, this is not resonating with the audience like I thought it would. There's nothing I can do any differently except put more money into it and try to talk to more people who aren't listening.
Right.
So was there any, I literally called my CFO and I said, shut her down.
Yeah. No debt associated with that brand.
Nope.
He was pretty. Okay. Yeah. Easy. Mm-hmm. Easy peasy. That's awesome. Yep. One thing I do want to get to the last segment of the show since we have a few minutes here, but there's one thing that I wanted to highlight to the folks at home, and you can expand on this, Lisa, is that you have managed, and I'm a big personal branding guy. I love helping people with their personal brand, getting their message really clear, like their pillars and knowing what the heck their message is. Cause a lot of people like to talk online, but they confuse the heck out of their audience because you're talking about everything, right? Focus on one, two things. How have you reinvented yourself time and time again, pivoting from one industry to the other? Like, it's amazing to watch. Just share some wisdom there on some of your strategy and how you've accomplished that.
Yeah, because so many people ask me that. I get messages all the time. People have known me for years and they're like, how do you just keep reinventing yourself? You know? And I think it's because I'm super purpose driven and my purpose has never changed. So my purpose in the automotive industry was not to be the number one car dealer in the world. Now, I happened to get there because I'm so purpose driven. But it was my purpose in the car business was to bring women, minorities, and millennials into the automotive space because I felt like it was the greatest opportunity on planet Earth. And so, as a woman car dealer, I fell into one of those pillars, right? I was the minority, you know, a lot of things. And so I took that same purpose, that same mindset into anything I've ever done, but I took that same purpose and mindset into the real estate business. And my purpose and mindset to this day still is that I am going to help agents build generational wealth with real estate. Right. And the good news in real estate is that I don't have to break it down to minorities, women, and millennials, because real estate is a very diverse group of people. Thank God. Car business is white cowboy. I'm in Texas. So there, it was just a bunch of white men, white cowboys, and they did not want girls, minorities, or millennials in their business. Okay. And don't kid yourselves. And I'm going to get some blowback by saying that, but it's the absolute truth, because I sat at the table. I was put on the National Dealer Council after we broke the world sales record. I was put by the chairman, Sergio Marchionne. I was put on the National Sales, National Dealer Council to run 2,300 car dealerships, me and 18 or 19 white men. And we were like the ambassadors for all the Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Ferrari, Maserati, and Alfa Romeo dealers in the nation. I was the only woman. I was not accepted in the beginning. They didn't want to hear what I wanted to say. And I even had to stand in my power about why I was there. Right? I was there because I was the number one dealer in the country. I earned my seat. And so when you've got a strong enough purpose in business and in life, and if it's bigger than yourself, like if I were to tell you right now, Eric, my purpose is to make all the money I can make. Well, that's not very compelling, right? I believe I make a lot of money because I ride my purpose. Like, to me, money is secondary. But what I'm doing when I build a team and my organization is that I help them. I'm helping them build generational wealth through all of our products and services, right? All the things that we are able to offer the people in our company. I help them. And in turn, because of course I'm going to get paid. They're in my organization. So that was a long answer to a short question. But, you know, you've got to determine what is your purpose? What drives you? What gets you up every single morning? And if it's just to make money, you're never going to hit heightened levels of success.
I love it.
You're just not. It's got to be about other people.
So good.
Because I think Zig Ziglar says it, right? If you help other people be successful, or I'm botching the quote, but it is a Zig Ziglar thing, but about helping other people make money, you'll make money.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Love Zig Ziglar. Lisa, let's get to the last portion of the show and we'll say our goodbyes. But in one word, how do you help people?
Courage. Courage. I really help people find their courage. You know, we live in a scary world. The economy is a nightmare right now. We're a lot worse off than we were 2 years ago. Businesses are shutting down at a record rate. Inflation is out of control. Interest rates are at an all-time high. It takes courage to be an entrepreneur. And everybody in real estate is an entrepreneur, okay? We're not working for the man. We're not working for some woke corporations. Like, we're out there and we're making stuff happen every single day. So my one word for everybody who's listening to this and watching this podcast is courage. You've got to have courage.
I love it. Such a powerful word. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, Lisa. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for sharing your words of wisdom, your experience. What an entertaining time I've had with you, inspired by all that you've shared as well. But thanks again. I appreciate you and look forward to continuing the conversation.
Great. Thanks, Eric.
That's it for now, folks. If you'd like to stay in touch with the show, you can contact me directly at eric@onairbrands.com. That's Eric, E-R-I-K, @onairbrands.com. And if you aren't already subscribed to the show, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or any other podcast platform. And please recommend us to one or two people in your circle. That will go a long, long way to growing our community. Also, if you could rate us on iTunes, just take a moment to give us 5 stars. And if they have more stars, give all of them. We'd greatly appreciate you for that. And always, always like, subscribe, and share this show on social media. We'd love you for that as well. And if you have any ideas or want to hear something on a future show, please hit us up. Maybe you have a question for one of my guests, or you want to tell a story, a success story. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that, especially if you're on the Anchor platform. You can leave us a voice message. We'd love to incorporate you and your voice on a future episode. Once again, folks, thanks again for listening to the Entrepreneur Circle. Please like, subscribe, and share. I am Eric Cabral, and as always, remember, your network is your net worth. So get in the circle.